As we prayed together a few minutes ago, it was very exciting Wednesday night to see Matthew Myers respond and be baptized into Christ. We rejoiced with him. It was a great evening. And if you haven't had it, I didn't get a chance to ask him, but if you haven't had a chance to meet him yet, Matthew, do you mind standing where you're at so people can see you and so they can wave you down? Didn't get a chance to hug him Wednesday night. You got more hugs coming this morning. So we are very happy with him. And wonderful evening. Appreciate Jeff leading all the verses of that song. There are worse songs to leave a verse out of, I guess. I read about a congregation one time that decided to end their worship service by only singing the first verse of "None of Self and All of Thee," which the first verse says, "All of self and none of thee." Not exactly how you want to leave a worship service. It's all about me, nothing about him. You know, that text we read a few minutes ago begins about as normally as it possibly can. The biography that begins with the birth of a baby. You read the opening couple of verses, and it's a man and a wife, and they have a baby. If you read biographies at all, that's pretty much how all of them begin. In fact, it's so common that in that text we read together a few minutes ago, the husband and wife aren't even named. We have to go later in the Old Testament to find out their names are Amram and Jochebed, but it's just that common. And while the birth of a baby is a wonderful thing, it's a wonderful blessing, it's a common thing. It happens all around the world every day. In our day, the family and the friends hear about it because of social media. The circles might go out a little bit, but unless it's a celebrity baby or a royal baby or something like that, it's just not known throughout the world. It's a wonderful thing, but it's a common thing. And Exodus chapter 2 opens in exactly the same way. The first, let's call it verse and a half of the chapter, are as normal as possibly can be. Until it isn't. And what we read about in those opening 10 verses that Jason read for us a few minutes ago is the beginning of a biography that is truly remarkable. We know at the end of this section that the baby's name will be Moses. But his parents didn't even name him that. You remember that the end of that text tells us that the daughter of the Pharaoh is the one that gave him that name. So far as we know from the biblical record, he didn't have a name before that. It's possible he did, but it's not recorded for us. There are some who suggest that he had a name and it was changed. It wasn't all that uncommon for a family in that day and time to not name a child for a little while until they saw more of what this child was going to be and then give him a name. But we don't know. If he did have a name, it was changed. And we don't even know what the original name was. But in this section of Scripture, we see a tremendous amount of faith. In fact, so much so that Hebrews chapter 11, that Hall of Faith chapter, picks up on it and talks about the parents of Moses. Hebrews 11:23 tells us, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." They weren't afraid of it. The end of chapter 1 of the book of Exodus tells us what the edict was. The Pharaoh at the time said that all the Hebrew baby boys would be killed, thrown in the Nile River. Now why they weren't afraid of it, the Bible never tells us. But something about that edict did not scare them. But still, there had to be some emotion here, just humanly speaking. Can you picture for a moment this mother making this little ark? Can you picture for a moment this mother, Jochebed, placing that ark on the very river that's being used to execute all the little boys? Even if she wasn't afraid, there had to be some level of inner turmoil. But what I want to do this morning is use these opening 10 verses of Exodus chapter 2. And since Moses' name means drawn out, we're going to draw out 3 points of application of how these verses show us how Jochebed was shaping the man Moses would become, shaping a deliverer. All three of these really are points of application. And here's the thing. Well, this is Mother's Day. Of course, we're going to make all the applications for our mothers. If you want to have influence over young people at all, these same three things need to be true of you. If you're going to be influential in seeing these young people be spiritually what God would have them to be. Three things drawn out of the text. First of all, there is faith that's needed in hidden, or if you're taking notes, you might want to use the word quiet places. And you may think we're going to go straight to that part where she hides him in the bulrushes or in the reeds, but that's not it. Instead, what we really see is a faith that comes about all the way from the very beginning of the chapter itself. Remember, the edict that was given at the end of chapter 1, that all of the boys were to be killed. Now, there are some scholars who believe that Exodus 1 into Exodus 2 is chronological. I agree with them. There are some who say it's not perfectly chronological. In other words, some say Moses was born and then the edict was given. I believe it's chronological. But whichever it is, whether it's chronological or whether it's kind of shifted a little bit back and forth to tell us what's going on, think of what it took for this couple to have this child, or to have the child and then find out about the edict and hide the child. Who, by the way, was still young enough that when he's found, he's called a baby. Try hiding a baby for 3 months. They're not quiet and they don't smell very good. But they were willing to bring this child into that world to be faithful to God. And she was willing to raise that child, hide him for 3 months in very quiet moments, and later to raise him as her own child when the daughter of Pharaoh says, you can raise him, you can nurse him. You ever notice the Bible doesn't tell us very much at all, in fact, basically nothing, about what she did during that time? But somehow Moses knows later that he's a Hebrew. Somehow he knows later who God actually is, even though he's raised in the very palace of the Pharaoh. He knows who he is. Why? It's not just because of that remarkable decision to place Moses on the Nile River. No. It's really because of 1,000 daily decisions made all throughout this time in a much more quiet way. It's because of what she decided to teach. It's because of how she decided to live before him each and every day. There is something very beautiful about the quietness of motherhood. And here's what I mean by that. On a day like this, we celebrate mothers, social media explodes, you know, with pictures and tributes and all sorts of things. Young people, there used to be a thing called a pay telephone call, a collect call. The adults are going, yeah, I know about that. That's when you call and your name, what's your name? Picking up at Burger King at 7. And you know exactly what I'm talking about because you don't want to pay for the call. But the young people go, what? Did you realize that when collect calls were a thing, the most collect calls were made on Father's Day? Not Mother's Day. Because mom's got the gifts. Mom's got the visits. That's wonderful. But here's the thing. What we're thinking about are just everyday things. The things that are very quiet. The things the world is not going to honor. 1,000 daily decisions that show faith to those young people that you're trying to raise and influence for the Lord. Those things don't make headlines. But they make all the difference, not just in the world. They make the difference in eternity. But when that mom, who may not have the greatest voice in the world, decides that when we're driving in the van or when we're doing things around the house, she's going to sing hymns. She is instilling in that child a faith that God is even in the mundane things of life. When even though she is very, very tired at the end of the day, she still decides, I'm going to read today's Bible story to my child. She is instilling in that child that God is in every day. When that child gets just a little bit older and there's a decision to be made about, are we going to go to the youth activities at church? Or are we going to stay home and play video games? Are we going to get away with every child's favorite excuse, I'm 9 eyes tired? And the mom says, we're going to be involved in church. She's instilling in that child that God comes first. Those things don't make headlines. Those things don't get celebrated by the world. But those things build and build and build upon themselves in very quiet moments to show children the proper direction in life, to show them who they really are. If God really is first, then He must be first all the time. Moms, don't give up. Even though this stuff doesn't make headlines, even though you don't get honored for it all the time, you are doing the right thing in quiet moments, instilling faith. There's a second observation we can draw out, though, and that's the observation of protecting a destiny before the world even knows it. We know who Moses is. In fact, I've got a book on my shelves at home that actually calls Moses the most famous man who ever lived, and then gives an actually fairly interesting reasoning why, of how many world religions at least know who he is. You go to law buildings all over the Western world, and there's some depiction of the Ten Commandments or Moses or something because he's the great lawgiver. There's all kinds of religions that at least have some reference back to him, and so it's possible that writer is correct, that if anybody who's ever lived, Moses might be the most well-known person who has ever walked the face of the earth. You know, there's nothing in the text in Exodus chapter 2 that tells us that Amram and Jochebed knew any of that was going to happen. It's interesting that here in Exodus 2, verse 2, it says that she saw he was a fine child. That passage in Hebrews 11:23, says they saw he was a beautiful child, which I have to chuckle at when I read it, because everybody thinks their child is beautiful, even though when they come out, they look like a lizard, okay? I'm sorry, but they're not beautiful right then. But don't tell them that. Isn't this the most beautiful child ever born? Don't answer that question, at least not honestly. But there's nothing in that that indicates all that much. There are commentators who will spend paragraphs talking about that terminology of fine child or beautiful child, and they'll write about how what it probably means is there was a striking appearance about this baby. There are a few who even go so far as to say that the appearance was so striking that they knew God's favor was on the child. Now, that may or not be true, but the Bible just says he was a fine child, a beautiful child, and there's nothing in the text that tells us that they ever got some special revelation from God to say, by the way, this child is going to do this and go here and be that kind of individual. This is just another baby being born. And yes, he might have been beautiful or striking, but there's no revelation of who he's going to be. I say that to say this. I don't believe that Jochebed went through all of this to protect a great lawgiver, to protect a great deliverer. She did it to be faithful to God and protect the baby. She didn't know what this child was going to become. But because she does, we have Moses with a capital M. We have that one who writes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Because she does, we have that great lawgiver of the Old Testament. Because she does, we have the one who stands at the burning bush. We have the one who goes before the Pharaoh, who is God's instrument to bring the 10 plagues, who is God's instrument to lead His people out of Egyptian bondage and through the Red Sea, who is the one who will lead God's people through the wilderness. We have Psalm 90 that Moses wrote that contains the powerful statement, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We wouldn't have those words if she hadn't done this. We have Exodus chapter 18 where Moses' father-in-law instructs him on how to organize the judicial system, how to handle cases. And it's the basis for every judicial system nearly in the entire world ever since. We have all of that because she did this thing, this wonderful and faithful thing. But pause for a moment. What if she had protected him, but he didn't become Moses with a capital M? What if he just was raised by Amram and Jochebed, lived a quiet but faithful life to God, and then died in obscurity? It still would have been worth it. because she was doing what was right to be faithful to God. Only the God in heaven knows the destiny of your children. What they will be as far as career or interests in this life or things they'll excel at as far as athletics or music or whatever it happens to be. Moms, please spend a lot more time protecting the spiritual destiny of your children than the other. Because that's all that's going to matter in the end. Take the time to be that mom who talks to your children about making right and wrong choices. Be that mom who talks to them about not watching certain things on television or on YouTube or whatever, because it's going to harm their soul and harm their mind and harm their heart. Be that mom who says, you're not playing that video game because it doesn't instill biblical thoughts and pure thoughts. Be that mom who says, you're not going to be on social media until you're like 89 years old because it's a cesspool of things that are against God. Be that mom who has the other kids over when you do. We do spiritual things. We make sure it's wholesome here. When they get a little bit older, you be the mom who, as their child is trying to think through something, you show them what God's Word says. Not just what you think, but what God's Word says. So, you know, so they know that as they age and as they grow, anything they face in life, they at least have the wisdom of God and the way to deal with things. We don't know what our children become as far as education and career and all those sorts of things. But protect the spiritual destiny as much as you can, because that's what matters. And then the third principle we can draw out from this text is releasing or launching our children with God, trusting God in that. I know Hebrews 11:23 tells us that they weren't afraid of the edict of the Pharaoh or the edict of the king. But can you imagine the moment? Put yourself in Jochebed's sandals for a second. Can you imagine the moment her hand left that little ark? And can you imagine the moment where she turned her back and walked away? Now I know, Miriam, the sister, is left there to watch. I get that. And I also know God's providence is all over this text. You don't get how this turns out without God's providence working all throughout this. But just think about this for a moment where she takes her hand off that ark and has to walk away, leaving her baby there in the bulrushes. It's a remarkable moment of faith, but also of dealing with something very, very difficult. I don't think, by the way, it's an accident that Pharaoh's daughter finds him. I really don't. It doesn't seem like Moses, almost said Noah, Moses was because it's and the ark. This is difficult, okay? I don't think Moses was in that ark on the river for all that long. Don't you just have to wonder if Jochebed didn't do some advanced scouting and just happened to place this little ark at a place where this seemingly kind lady would come every so often to bathe or do other things. We can't know. The text doesn't tell us. But I have to wonder if that wasn't possible. But there's a point of application here. And moms know it's not to have the older sister watch the little brother all the time. That's not the point of application. But it's about that moment when you have to release your children. Boy, it's hard. It's really hard. You want to hang on just a little bit longer. But at some point, the hand has to come off the ark. And you have to trust you've done the best you could. But what we see here is a mother who did that in a way that honored God. And by way of application, it reminds us there are things we can do as we release or launch our children into the world that can make it, not perfect, but make it spiritually as safe as we possibly can. Moms, before your kid goes away to college or career or military or whatever it happens to be, spend time in prayer with them and for them. If they're going to be going away to college or going away for a career or whatever, help them find a faithful congregation in that area and contact the congregation. My kid's moving here. My kid's going to college here. Would you please keep an eye out and help us as we try to do this the right way? Maybe you want your child to talk to an elder or a faithful older Christian. Hey, what's some words of wisdom here as I step out of this this time of life. They're going to the military. Maybe you find a Christian who was in the military too. How did you remain faithful? What was difficult as you went through that? What do I need to be careful of here as I go into that realm? Does it guarantee success spiritually? No. The decision is going to be theirs ultimately to choose to be faithful or not. But we have to make certain we put all the things in place we can so when our hand comes off the ark, they are safe as much as we possibly can make them safe. You know, it starts when Moses is a baby. And it continues really through a good amount of his childhood as Jochebed continues to encourage him and teach him. But I love that the Bible specifically tells us that when Pharaoh's daughter sees him, it's a baby. Moses is a baby, still a tiny little thing. Because it helps us to see something for moms, that it starts when they're a baby, and really before they're born, you have the tremendous privilege of partnering with God in helping those children be shaped and molded in the right way. You really do. You have a connection. And hopefully, when they're launched, you're able to say, I did the best I could. Well, and then what? Well, some struggle. Because maybe that child doesn't choose to follow the way of God. And that's something that stings like almost nothing else can. But moms, if that happens, don't let that take away your faith. Because at one point you had to choose whether you were going to follow God or not also. If your child is still at home, make every moment one that you shape and mold, not a deliverer, but one who realizes they need to be delivered by God. And if your child is grown and walking with Jesus, not in arrogance, but in gratitude, you had a hand in that. And thank God for it. Thank God for the moments. Thank God for the strength. Thank God for the wisdom that you displayed to help that child know the right way to go. Because should that child remain faithful, and should you remain faithful, you get to go home together forever. And that makes every sacrifice worth it. This morning, are you a Christian? Have you put Christ on in baptism? If you have you lived a faithful life to Him? Maybe not. Maybe you need to be baptized to begin that Christian walk. Or maybe as a Christian, something is standing in the way of you being all that you need to be for Him. And you'd like for us to pray with you, encourage you. Whatever your need is, will you come? Voice and sing to encourage you.